Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Steve Marks.
And I'm Wade Wegner.
Unlike last week where we claimed we had a special episode, but really it was pretty much just a normal episode, this week is kind of special because this week is the anniversary of the commercial launch of the Windows Azure platform.
Yep.
So we have a guest with us. We have James Conard here who
Hi.
Is going to reminisce with us about the history of the platform.
The history of services. Right?
Yeah. We're going to talk about it all.
Yeah.
But of course, before we do that, we're going to cover some news. And then we're going to wrap up with, indeed, a very special
tip
of the week.
Yep.
So let's start with some news. What's new?
Great. So the first thing that we wanted to cover was there is an update to the Windows Azure Platform Training Kit. These things seem to happen pretty often. We just had an update
a couple months ago.
Yeah. And fortunately, it's the team that I'm on that produces the kit, and James runs the team. And so we thought that James could talk a little bit about what was new in this kit.
Yep. So this is the, I think, fourth kit that we've released in the last 6 months, right, Wade?
Yep.
And so in this kit, there's a number of different things the teams have been working on. So, you know, some new demo scripts to help out kind of all the different trainers we got going out and delivering training events, and, you know, other evangelists that are giving sessions, and our MVPs. So things like, a demo script for, the Windows Azure Connect, demo script for going through full IIS and the web worker role enhancements. A new hands-on lab for Windows Phone 7.
Yep.
Initially with this lab, what we want to do is actually just show the connectivity of kind of how phone apps connect out to the cloud. And we're going to continue to enhance this lab to kind of show how you handle auth and how you work with different types of data, how you do notifications. But we're going to continue to ship this stuff pretty frequently. And there's a number of other things where we just applied some bug fixes. So a lot of people have been going through the hands-on labs and things and just sending feedback the feedback, Elias, and we've been applying that. So
one thing I wanted to call out as well is we included a demo script for Project Rafiki. So for those of you that saw PDC, either through the stream or live, one of the keynote demos was Project Rafiki. Jonathan Carter and Don Box went through and touched a number of services that had just been released on the platform. Caching, access control,
reporting.
V2, reporting.
Yep.
And so what we've done is we've taken that keynote demo and pulled it all into something that's very easy to execute from a demo perspective.
Yep.
Also a very good thing to walk through and take a look to see how we're leveraging the platform. So that's an important demo script release.
Yeah, in the demo scripts, what we find too, in the way you see the feedback, is a lot of people just go use these as kind of mini tutorials.
Yep.
You know, while they have kind of the what you say kind of statements there, so somebody wants to do user group, that kind of thing, they can have something to go and use. Really, they're kind of more of a tutorial format where you can just quickly understand how technology works. A little different than the hands-on labs that are very instructional. Yeah. And so it's a good resource to even just flip through and see how a technology or a feature like VMroll works.
Yeah. And so we'll probably stay on a cadence where, once a month and so forth, we'll try to ship a release here. So keep everything fresh.
Yep.
So, excellent. Moscow.
Privyet. We now have a CDN node in Moscow, which brings the total up to,
so like 45?
I think, 372 different CDN locations. What's the actual number?
23.
That seems low. I bet it's higher. These spring up all the time, but we like to cover them on Cloud Cover just to keep you up to date. But the CDN is everywhere, now that includes Mother Russia.
Yep. All right, so moving on, I think the rest of the news items are specific to the content of today's show.
These are hot news items just off the presses. I mean, right today, we already saw that one, Wade. Okay, right today we see that the Windows Azure platform is commercial availability of App Fabric.
Yep.
So people have been waiting eagerly, but
for our platform to launch and be commercially available.
But just now, as you can see from the date.
Wait a minute.
Today's date is January 2000.
Oh, that was last year.
Yeah, that was a year ago. We messed up. We're covering some old news here. What else do we have? Let's see if we got something else to do it.
We're going backwards.
Are the shows usually like this?
Yeah, that's pretty much the
general call. All right,
SQL Azure. I never watch them.
Yeah, that's great. Looks like SQL Azure just shipped. This is now available. Oh, that's also old.
All right, let me see if I can pull up one other thing. Let's see, the Windows Azure blog has got to have some new news. Here we go. Here's what we really want
right.
to highlight.
This is current. That's an actual date. And this is about the fact that all those things are from a year ago.
Yes.
Basically, the Windows Azure platform has now been commercially available for a full year.
Yep.
It seems like longer than that, to be honest. But it's only been a year.
But the birthday of the commercial availability is 1 year as of yesterday, actually.
Yeah. So this is pretty cool. That's really what we wanted to cover in the show this week, is basically how far we've come in that year, maybe swap some war stories with James here, who's been around the platform since the beginning.
The beginning.
Too long.
Yeah, James, you run the cloud evangelism team. Is that what your team's called?
Windows Azure platform evangelism team.
Oh, really? Didn't you used to be the cloud evangelism team?
That's too short, so we had to actually add some more words.
It didn't have enough words. It wasn't officially. There was no registered trademark symbol in it.
Exactly. Long acronym. So.
And how long is that? I mean, team's been there since before we came out with the CTP, at least.
Well, let's date it. So we announced the initial platform, so the Azure Services platform, in 2008, right? October
2008. Azure Services platform.
Yep. Azure Services platform.
Because ASP was an acronym that hadn't been taken, so we just figured we'd grab ASP.
At PDC08, you were there, right?
I was wearing these
on
shoes.
Stage.
Awesome.
These are the official Red Dog shoes that we had back then. This is the very shirt that I was wearing.
And Amitabh was there.
Amitabh,
Kino,
also wearing the same
shoes. All there.
Shoes.
Yeah. So
that was 2008. PDC08. That was the PDC of 2008.
But that's not when it started.
October.
But you've been involved before.
Yep.
Since before.
So it actually goes back. I actually looked back some of the dates, and we got started in October of 2007, and kind of getting ready for what we thought would be the PDC 08.
Right.
And we had these events we call the Platform Strategy Review. So we basically, like the top ISVs, build some massive applications. We usually give them like the vision of where we're going, 3 to 5 year window. And so Bob Mugley actually gave a talk that was a services talk and used terms like foundation services and building block services. First time that I can recall.
Yeah.
We actually talked about some of these things.
So that was 2000, fall of 2007.
Yes.
So that's around when I must have. Because I joined the Windows Azure team around that time, which actually, Windows Azure had then Red Dog, right? But there was a functioning Red Dog at that point. There was a Fabric and storage and whatever, and they were running.
There
was no SDK. There was no developers couldn't use it because there was no. It was all really raw, right? And that's when I joined. And so we were already. That's when we were talking with customers for the first time about. Stuff.
Well,
that's wild.
And so we were actually talking about it in very vague terms, like, hey, we're going to have some kind of compute service, we're going to have some kind of data service in the cloud. And then over that year, I mean, a lot of people don't realize kind of the lead up to these kind of big conferences like PDC, we worked back and started holding like the software design reviews services design reviews to get some feedback.
So a couple things. You've highlighted your red shoes and you've mentioned Red Dog, but it's probable that not everyone understands Red Dog, what it means, and so forth. So it might be fun to walk back through some of the code names that we had for some of these services. I think a lot of people are going to recognize them, but talking about the origin of Red Dog.
Yeah, well, Red Dog. That's our product is named after a strip club. this is true. Amitabh, Dave Cutler, and some other sort of Amitabh's sort of core team that was trying to design what this thing would be back before I was on the team, so I had nothing to do with this. so this is probably in 2007, but maybe even 2006. I mean, it was very early in the they needed a name. They had no code name for anything or whatever, and they drove past this place in California called the Pink Poodle, and the Pink Poodle was the kind of establishment you can imagine with a name like Pink Poodle. And Dave, I think it was Dave Cutler who said, We should name the product. He didn't want it to be just Pink Poodle, so they went with Red Dog.
There you go.
But I don't know. This is the stuff of myths.
Yes.
I don't know who was around then that will confirm.
It's hard to
substantiate it, yeah. But that's kind of the story. But right, so Red Dog was the code name for what's now Windows Azure.
Yep.
We were just going over some of the code names earlier for SQL Azure was
Sitka.
Sitka
SQL
was
server
code name, right?
Was Sitka
Sitka's
first.
A code name.
Right.
Yep.
Sitka was
SQL Server Data Services.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that, which came first, SSDS. SSDS. Data Services?
Or? SSDS, okay, SQL so Server SSDS. Data Services. Yep. Then it was SQL Data Services.
Yep. Yep.
And then when we moved to the relational model, it got aligned with
then
SQL
Azure. Then we got
Azure.
SQL Azure. Azure. Yeah. Right. And
now, the one I'm more familiar with was started off as BizTalk Services.
Yeah.
So BizTalk Services was an incubation around, you know, kind of service bus, some workflow services. And then internally it was referred to as Zurich. So it was Zurich Services.
Right.
And then when we launched in 2008 with the CTP, it was .NET Services. And then at 2009, we rebranded it to Windows Azure App Fabric.
To Windows Azure Platform App Fabric.
That's right, yeah. Windows Azure Platform
but
App
you
Fabric.
Know there's one that most people forget about, and it's a code name of Strata.
Strata.
Do you remember that one? Mm-hmm. We used it for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Was that right before PDC?
Right before PDC,
yes.
Where essentially what we needed is a one-word placeholder for Azure that we could go quickly do a find and replace on in most cases.
Gotcha.
For, like all the marketing docs and presentations.
I went to PDC 2008 to do the like on-stage demo in the keynote of Windows Azure with business cards that didn't say what team I worked on or have a logo because I wasn't allowed to actually like.
Awesome.
I knew the name a little before that, but really it was. I mean, it was. I think it was an accident that I found out. Like, I mean, it was that, like, no one was really supposed to know the thing. Okay. I remember backstage we had these reminders of how to pronounce the word Azure because no one had seen it before.
Yep.
And so I think Mike Swanson was running around telling everybody to just think, you know, what do you say? Like, look out the window as you're walking by.
That was Azure walking down the street.
They sent out an email with the recordings of how to pronounce it.
That was
I remember that because I had a partner that had built a keynote demo for 2008 focused on .NET services, and we were all prepped for Strata leading into it a couple of weeks. And literally the night before, we had to scrub the decks and make sure that the partner knew how to say the word, was going to call it, you know, Azure instead of Strata and so forth. So. Pretty interesting.
It's pretty interesting. But there actually have been a lot of enhancements to the service.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
Like, it's not just the code name.
Right.
I mean,
aside from
like,
us reminiscing about, what actually changed?
It's actually been pretty significant in terms of how fast the teams, engineering teams across the company, have been just taking feedback, implementing new features, you know, enhancing some of the services. Like, I remember when it first went out with SQL Data Services, and some people liked the kind of the REST-based and SOAP-based model for accessing data. A lot of people just said, I have compute in the cloud. I just want a database that looks like SQL Server.
Yep.
Right.
And, you know, we just, the engineering team on the SQL side just reacted to that. We came back at Mix and talked
about
it.
And it's remarkable how
there.
Quickly they were actually able to react to that and adapt it to a relational model.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and on the Windows Azure side, I mean, the CTP came out. .NET only, partial trust.
Partial trust.
And so fairly kind of sandboxed.
Yeah.
By Mix, I think the font. So, I mean, 6 months later?
Just
even
March.
Less. Yeah, we had full trust and native code support
fast
and PHP.
CGI. Yep. Fast CGI.
And then, I mean, obviously, we've gone from there. I mean, by the time we launched, we had a lot of capabilities. And then in the past year, I mean, we've also added a bunch of stuff.
Yep.
I mean, on Windows Azure, there's, you know, there's VMroll and Connect and remote desktop and
OS
admin
versioning.
Capabilities, versioning the OS.
Yeah, for 4 support, like...
Yeah, I mean, just stuff. A ton, really actually a lot of stuff in 1 year. And that's happened, I mean, on all the services, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we keep adding things. The caching is a brand new service that we've added since launch.
Yep.
What else have we got in there? SQL Azure's added a bunch of features.
We've got CTPs around some things with SQL Azure. So SQL Azure reporting, data sync.
Yep. But even before that, if you think over the full last year, I mean, haven't we added...
increase the database.
Data stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's
added,
new SQL.
Added in DAC support, so you can go create a package and describe the schema. And
we've been increasing
that.
The database sizes, so you have higher, you know, larger...
And APIs to kind of move between data sizes. The pricing models have innovated on a few different services, I think, in the past year. I mean, it's actually... I mean, we always talk about one of the advantages of being in the cloud is that you get to innovate really fast because you just have to deploy new... You don't have to... print disks and package them in boxes and ship stuff. I mean, you can actually go. We can make changes often. And all the services do. Like, you don't see very much of those changes, but, I mean, we're constantly kind of adding little things and whatever, right?
Yeah.
Performance gets better one day, and you're not really sure why, but it's because we fixed some things in back-end or made some optimizations.
Some
but we can also deliver the features.
Too,
yeah,
right,
I mean,
like the portal experience.
The portal is completely different, right? And that's, I don't know, it's I guess it's just... I worry we're now boring the audience with a little bit of reminiscing that's really it's not relevant to what you get today, but I think the thing that maybe people should take away is a lot of stuff changed in the past year. So that much stuff is going to change in the next year. And I mean, we're only growing and accelerating what we're doing. And so I guess it's part of what you get from the platform is, you know, that we're making all those continual improvements.
Well, I think when I talk with people, and it, you know, it's kind of funny because people are used to a 2 or 3 year kind of ship cycle. They're like, hey, you expect a beta release candidate and RTM, and then you're going to come back to me in a couple of years and give me something else. What I find is that just remind people what was released 6 months ago, because it's easy to kind of miss one of those key features you were dependent on, right? The other thing is that it's
the CDN. Did we have the CDN in the? When did we have the CDN?
We talked about the CDN at Mix.
And Mix after in 2009, right? Okay. So yeah, I mean that's one of those. I'm always forgetting whole giant features of the platform that just. Yeah, I mean, I know they're there now, but it's hard to remember that they weren't all there at the day one. They've just been added over time. Yeah.
Well, the other thing that's interesting is that, you know, when you look back across the history of the new features being released, is that we're clearly taking feedback. Like, as we go to get feedback from people wanting larger database sizes and want features, they know a SQL Server, or they want expanded capabilities of Windows Azure. Like, the teams are continuing to enhance those services, and then there's new stuff in terms of new services coming too. And so it'll be interesting. You guys do this show next year.
Yeah.
You know what does the actual platform look like in terms of, you know, the set of services you can go and consume?
Next year we're just gonna take this video, but then we'll just voice over
with,
like, new. James will be saying, "Oh, we added," and then we'll just cut to whatever the newfangled thing is there. So that we, because then we're, I mean, that'll save us a bunch of time. Yep. I think doing all those edits will be
at
faster
least 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Is that maybe we should? I'm thinking maybe it's time to move on to the tip of the week.
I think so.
It's
a pretty special tip of the week.
Yeah, it is a special tip of the week. So this tip of the week, we just found this this week, and so
it was in a drawer hidden in an unused office.
And Wade walked into that office for no apparent reason and opened up the drawer and saw there
went straight to it
a tape. It's like a VHS. Because that's the technology that was available when this was recorded. But Ryan Dunn, before he left the company, apparently recorded a video that he left for us to discover, and it was just labeled Tip of the Week.
Yep.
So we don't actually know what's on there. We're not exactly sure when he recorded it. We thought the best thing to do would be to not watch it ahead of time, but just splice it into the video.
Directly into the video.
Push it onto Channel 9 with no editorial review. And that would be the safest thing for us to do. So that's what we're going to do.
Yep.
I honestly do not know what's going to be on this tape.
We'll see what Ryan has to say.
Yeah, let's find out. So, Bob, can you roll the tip of the week?
Hi, folks. If you're seeing this video, it's probably because I've left Microsoft at this point. I decided I would go out and record a few Tip of the Weeks on my own and see if I could get these injected into the show for posterity's sake, really. Now, I'm going to be telling you a few things about Steve and Wade that they might not really enjoy hearing. However, I think it's important that the audience really understands who the hosts of the Cloud Cover Show really are. Now, before I get to that, let me get to the Tip of the Week, which is around the OS family. Now, at the time this video is made, the OS family should be coming out soon. That is, we have an ability to change between Windows Server 2008 and Windows Server 2008 R2. Today, this is controlled kind of opaquely, so you're going to, by default, choose OS Family 1 if you do nothing with your service definition. And when that happens, you'll see that the OS version will be tied to 1 point something. Right now, I think it's about 1.7, but when OS Family 2 comes online, which is Windows Server 2008 R2, you'll be able to actually tie your entire service to the R2 release in the cloud. The benefits of doing this, of course, is that you'll have things installed out of box that are in R2, like PowerShell 2 is a good example. Whereas in Windows Server 2008, you have PowerShell V1, which has some fewer capabilities than R2 does in the PowerShell 2, anyhow. So, keep in mind that the OS family and the OS version are kind of held together in lockstep. So when you do something like you choose OS family V1, it means that your entire service, not just a role within the service, but the entire service is going to be running Windows Server 2008. If you change to OS family 2, you're going to actually set the entire service again to the R2 release. You'll see on the site when you look at OS versioning that everything that's for our OS Family 1 will be 1 point something, and everything for OS Family version 2, sorry, will be 2 point something. When you look at that, you'll have to take into consideration that any applications or anything you deploy component-wise will need to be compatible with that family, not just within a particular role, but at the entire service level. So, with that, let me get to the story of Steve and I and some of the crazy hijinks that I found out about Steve. First of all, Steve was involved in a minor incident over at an Indian casino. Steve is actually a pretty big gambler, and Steve doesn't drink. He walks in. Let's just say he looks like he's rolled out of bed. Homeless guy. He sits down, and he looks like he's dropped something, apparently, on the video camera. He comes back up, and he's got a wad of cash. Steve likes to keep it down in his socks. So Steve's playing for about 5-10 minutes. Crazy thing, right? And they try to take him away. Things get a little heated after he realizes that he's being escorted out of the casino and into the back office to talk about how he stole somebody's money. Steve ends up getting maced. Almost got tasered. Spends the night in jail for disorderly conduct. And to this day, he's now banned from going to the Snoqualmie Casino, actually. He would have just dressed a little more appropriately and didn't keep all of his money in his socks. It would never have happened. True story about Wade. Now, Wade's a great guy. He came to us from the field. He used to live in Chicago at some point, Denver, I believe. He comes to a corporate in Redmond to be the Windows Azure App Fabric evangelist. And Wade shows up. He's real excited. We tell him, kind of as a joke, that you have to, when you first join the team, you have to do an interpretive dance. So in the very first meeting, wait, you need to do an interpretive dance of the App Fabric, technology. Give us the feeling of how you're going to evangelize this technology. So Wade, what we didn't know at the time is Wade's actually a gymnast. He can do like all these backflips and stuff like that. All of a sudden, Wade's like, okay, fine. He stands up and he puts his hands down on the table and he just straight flips up upside down, handstand, walking backwards on his hands. He drops off the table, tuck roll thing when he does it. And we're like, oh my God, that was the most amazing interpretive dance we've ever seen. And we asked him to explain it. App Fabric makes you more agile or something like that. It was amazing. The dude is still quite a gymnast.
Well, I'm sure it was great.
It's
probably sad, funny, and poignant all at the same time.
Yeah, and maybe a little disgusting. That's you never know with Brian. So
now I'm concerned.
Yeah, and there's nothing we can do now because he doesn't work at this
company anymore. And it's been spliced in. Yeah. So.
And it's shipped on the web at this moment because this show is live, what people don't always realize. So it's now everyone's now seen it on Channel 9, and so there's nothing we can do. But thank you, Ryan, for giving us that one last tip of the week.
Yep.
Unless we go into other empty offices and find more. I mean, we don't know if it's the only tape.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's great. We can get him to keep on working for us. Even though he's not here, actually continue to help us out.
And provide
some value. Yeah. I wonder if we can work on a hands-on lab.
I really think we should
open more drawers in unused offices because it's impossible to know what he's left for us.
Yeah,
a little scavenger hunt.
I'll let you go.
Okay, so anyway, if you have things that you would like to see added to the Windows Azure platform over the next year or just discussed on the Cloud Cover Show, you should interact with us on @CloudCoverShow on Twitter or send an email to Wade Wagner, the most awesome guy in the world, @CompuServe.com.
That's my email.
That's his email address. I don't think email addresses could be that long. You probably have to have 8 characters maximum.
It's special. It's a special address.
Only Wade has that one. So it'll totally work. Go ahead and do it or send us a fax. And I guess until next week, thanks a lot. Thanks, James, for being on the show.
Thank you, James.
It was great.